And now we begin Chapter 1 of the Antyalila, Srila Rupa Goswami's Second Meeting with the Lord.
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda.
I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even a lame man can cross over a mountain, and a dumb man can recite Vedic literature. My path is very difficult. I am blind, and my feet are slipping again and again. Therefore, may the saints help me by granting me the stick of their mercy as my support. I pray to the lotus feet of the six Goswamis, Sri Rupa, Sanatan, Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jiva, Gopal Bhatta, and Dasa Raghunath, so that all impediments to my writing this literature will be annihilated and my real desire will be fulfilled. Glory to the all-merciful Radha and Madan Mohan. I am lame and ill-advised, yet they are my directors, and their lotus feet are everything to me. In a temple of jewels in Vrindavan, underneath a desire tree, Sri Sri Radha Govinda, served by their most confidential associates, sit upon an effulgent throne. I offer my humble obeisances unto them. Sri Srila Gopinath, who originated the transcendental mellow of the Ras dance, stands on the shore of Vamshivat and attracts the attention of the cowherd damsels with the sound of his celebrated flute. May they all confer upon us their benediction. All glories to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaitacharya. All glories to the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I have briefly described the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Madhya Lila. Now I shall attempt to describe something about his last pastimes, which are known as the Antya Lila. I have briefly described the Antya Lila in codes within the Madhya Lila. I am now almost an invalid because of old age, and I know that at any moment I may die. Therefore, I have already described some portions of the Antya Lila. In accordance with the codes previously written, I shall describe in detail whatever I have not mentioned. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Jagannath Puri from Vrindavan, Svarup Damodar Goswami immediately sent news of the Lord's arrival to the devotees in Bengal. Upon hearing this news, Mother Shachi and all the other devotees of Navadvip were very joyful, and they all departed together for Neelachal or Jagannath Puri. Thus all the devotees of Kulinagram and Srikanda, as well as Advaitacharya, came together to meet Shivananda Sen. Shivananda Sen arranged for the journey. He maintained everyone and provided residential quarters. While going to Jagannath Puri, Shivananda Sen allowed a dog to go with him. He supplied it food to eat and maintained it. One day when they needed to cross a river, an Orissan boatman would not allow the dog to get in the boat. Shivananda Sen, unhappy that the dog had to stay behind, paid the boatman 10 panna of conch shells to take the dog across the river. One day while Shivananda Sen was detained by a tollman, his servant forgot to give the dog its cooked rice. At night, when Shivananda Sen returned and was taking his meal, he inquired from the servant whether the dog had gotten its meals. When he learned that the dog had not been supplied food in his absence, he was very unhappy. He then immediately sent 10 men to find the dog. When the men returned without success, Shivananda Sen became very unhappy and fasted for the night. In the morning, they looked for the dog, but it could not be found anywhere. All the Vaishnavs were astonished. Thus, in great anxiety, they all walked to Jagannath Puri, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met them as usual. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went with them to see the Lord in the temple, and on that day he also took lunch in the company of all those devotees. As previously, the Lord provided them all with residential quarters, and the next morning all the devotees came to see the Lord. When all the devotees came to the place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they saw that the same dog was sitting a little apart from the Lord. Furthermore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was throwing remnants of green coconut pulp to the dog. Smiling in his own way, he was saying to the dog, "Chant the holy names Ram, Krishna, and Hari." Seeing the dog eating the green coconut pulp and chanting Krishna, Krishna again and again, all the devotees present were very much surprised. When he saw the dog sitting in that way and chanting the name of Krishna, Shivananda, because of his natural humility, immediately offered obeisances to the dog just to counteract his offenses to it. The next day, no one saw that dog, for it had obtained its spiritual body and departed for Vaikuntha, the spiritual kingdom. Such are the transcendental pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Mother Shachi. He even delivered a dog simply by inducing it to chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna. Meanwhile, following the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Rupa Goswami returned to Vrindavan. He desired to write dramas concerning the pastimes of Lord Krishna. In Vrindavan, Rupa Goswami began to write a drama. In particular, he composed the introductory verses to invoke good fortune. On his way to Godadesh, Rupa Goswami had been thinking of how to write the action of the drama. Thus he had made some notes and begun to write. In this way, the two brothers, Rupa and Anupam, reached Bengal. But when they arrived there, Anupam died. Rupa Goswami then departed to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for he was very eager to see him. There was some delay because of the death of Anupam, and therefore, when Rupa Goswami went to Bengal to see the devotees there, he could not get in touch with them because they had already left. In the province of Orissa, there is a place known as Satyabhamapur. Srila Rupa Goswami rested for a night in that village on his way to Jagannath Puri. While resting in Satyabhamapur, he dreamed that a celestially beautiful woman had come before him and very mercifully gave him the following order. "Write a separate drama about me," she said. "By my mercy, it will be extraordinarily beautiful." After having that dream, Srila Rupa Goswami considered, "It is the order of Satyabhama that I write a separate drama for her. I have brought together in one work all the pastimes performed by Lord Krishna in Vrindavan and in Dvarka. Now I shall have to divide them into two dramas." Thus absorbed in thought, he quickly reached Jagannath Puri. When he arrived, he approached the hut of Haridas Thakur. Out of affectionate love and mercy, Haridas Thakur told Srila Rupa Goswami, "Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has already informed me that you would come here." After seeing the Upala Bhog ceremony at the Jagannath temple, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would regularly come to see Haridas every day. Thus he suddenly arrived there. When the Lord arrived, Rupa Goswami immediately offered his obeisances. Haridas informed the Lord, This is Rupa Goswami offering you obeisances. And the Lord embraced him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then sat down with Haridas and Rupa Goswami. They inquired from one another about auspicious news and then continued to talk together for some time. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired about Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami replied, "I did not meet him. I came by the path on the bank of the Ganges, whereas Sanatan Goswami came by the public road. Therefore we did not meet. In Prayag, I heard that he had already gone to Vrindavan." Rupa Goswami next informed the Lord about the death of Anupam. After allotting residential quarters there to Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left. Then all of the Lord's personal associates met Srila Rupa Goswami. On the next day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again met Rupa Goswami, and with great mercy, the Lord introduced him to all the devotees. Srila Rupa Goswami offered his respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of them all, and all the devotees, by their mercy, embraced him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu, "You should both show your mercy wholeheartedly to Rupa Goswami. May Rupa Goswami, by your mercy, become so powerful that he will be able to describe the transcendental mellows of devotional service." Thus Rupa Goswami became the object of love and affection for all the devotees of the Lord, including those who came from Bengal and those who resided in Orissa. Every day Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go to see Rupa Goswami, and whatever prasad he received from the temple, he would deliver to Rupa Goswami and Haridas Thakur. He would talk for some time with them both, and then leave to perform his noontime duties. In this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dealings with them continued every day. Thus receiving the transcendental favor of the Lord, Srila Rupa Goswami felt unlimited pleasure. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, taking all his devotees with him, performed the Gundicha Marjan, or washing and cleansing the temple Gundicha, he went to the garden known as Aitota, and accepted prasad at a picnic within the garden. When Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami saw that all the devotees were accepting prasad and chanting the holy name of Hari, they both were greatly pleased. When they received the remnants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prasad through Govinda, they respected it, and then they both began to dance in ecstasy. On the next day, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to see Srila Rupa Goswami, the omniscient Lord spoke as follows. "Do not try to take Krishna out of Vrindavan, for he does not go anywhere else at any time. The Krishna known as Yadukumara is Vasudev Krishna. He is different from the Krishna who is the son of Nanda Maharaj. Yadukumara Krishna manifests his pastimes in the cities of Mathura and Dvarka, but Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, never at any time leaves Vrindavan." After saying this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to perform his noontime duties, leaving Srila Rupa Goswami somewhat surprised. Srila Rupa Goswami thought, "Satyabhama ordered me to write two different dramas. Now I understand that this order has been confirmed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Formerly I wrote the two dramas as one composition. Now I shall divide it and describe the incidents in two separate works. I shall write two separate invocations of good fortune and two different introductions. Let me think deeply about the matter, and then describe the two different sets of incidents." During the Ratha Yatra ceremony, Rupa Goswami saw Lord Jagannath. He also saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing and chanting in front of the Rath cart. when Rupa Goswami heard a verse uttered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during the ceremony, he immediately composed another verse dealing with the same subject. I have already described all these incidents, but I still wish to add briefly something more. Generally, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited a verse while dancing and chanting before the Rath, but no one knew why he was reciting that particular verse. Only Svarup Namada Goswami knew the purpose for which the Lord recited that verse. According to the Lord's attitude, he used to quote other verses to enable the Lord to relish mellows. Rupa Goswami, however, could understand the intention of the Lord, and thus he composed another verse that appealed to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The verse Lord Chaitanya recited went as follows. That very personality who stole my heart during my youth is now again my master. These are the same moonlit nights of the month of Chaitra. The same fragrance of malati flowers is there, and the same sweet breezes are blowing from the Kadamba forest. In our intimate relationship, I am also the same lover, yet still my mind is not happy here. I am eager to go back to that place on the bank of the Reva, under the Vaitasi tree. That is my desire. And the verse Rupa Goswami composed went as follows. My dear friend, now I have met my very old and dear friend Krishna on this field of Kurukshetra. I am the same Radharani, and now we are meeting together. It is very pleasant, but I would still like to go to the bank of the Yamuna beneath the trees of the forest there. I wish to hear the vibration of his sweet flute playing the fifth note within the forest of Vrindavan. After writing this verse on a palm leaf, Rupa Goswami put it somewhere in his thatched roof and went to bathe in the sea. At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there to meet him, and when he saw the leaf pushed into the roof, he saw the verse and began to read it. After reading the verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was overwhelmed by ecstatic love. At that time, Rupa Goswami returned, having finished bathing in the sea. Seeing the Lord, Sri Rupa Goswami fell flat in the courtyard to offer obeisances. The Lord slapped him mildly in love and spoke as follows. My heart is very confidential. How did you know my mind in this way? After saying this, he firmly embraced Rupa Goswami. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took that verse and showed it to Svarup Damada for him to examine. Then the Lord questioned him. How could Rupa Goswami have understood my heart? The Lord asked. Svarup Damada replied, I can understand that you have already bestowed your causeless mercy upon him. No one else otherwise could understand this meaning. I can therefore guess that previously you bestowed upon him your causeless mercy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, Rupa Goswami met me at Prayag. Knowing him to be a suitable person, I naturally bestowed my mercy upon him. I thereupon also bestowed upon him my transcendental potency. Now you also should give him instructions. In particular, instruct him in transcendental mellows. Svarup Damada said, As soon as I saw the unique composition of this verse, I could immediately understand that you had bestowed upon him your special mercy. By seeing a result, one can understand the cause of that result. Svarup Damada then quoted a verse. The river Ganges, flowing from the heavenly planets, is full of golden lotus flowers, and we, the residents of those planets, eat the stems of the flowers. Thus, we are very beautiful, more so than the inhabitants of any other planet. This is due to the law of cause and effect, for if one eats food in the mode of goodness, the mode of goodness increases the beauty of his body. After the 4 months of Chaturmasya, Shravan, Bhadra, Ashvin, and Kartik, all the Vaishnavas of Bengal returned to their homes, but Srila Rupa Goswami remained in Jagannath Puri under the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One day, while Rupa Goswami was writing his book, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu suddenly appeared. As soon as Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami saw the Lord coming, they both stood up and then fell down to offer him their respectful obeisances. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced them both and then sat down. The Lord inquired, "What kind of book are you writing?" He held up a palm leaf that was a page of the manuscript, and when he saw the fine handwriting, his mind was very pleased. Thus being pleased, the Lord praised the writing by saying, "The handwriting of Rupa Goswami is just like rows of pearls." While reading the manuscript, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw a verse on that page, and as soon as he read it, he was overwhelmed by ecstatic love. He recited, "I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. When that name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert." When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted this verse, Haridas Thakur, upon hearing the vibration, became jubilant and began dancing and praising its meaning. One has to learn about the beauty and transcendental position of the holy name of the Lord by hearing the revealed scriptures from the mouths of devotees. Nowhere else can we learn of the sweetness of the Lord's holy name. Thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced both Haridas and Rupa Goswami and left for the seaside to perform his noontime duties. On the next day, after visiting the temple of Jagannath as usual, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Ramananda Roy, and Svarup Damodar. They all went together to Srila Rupa Goswami, and on the way, the Lord greatly praised his qualities. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited the two important verses, he felt great pleasure. Thus, as if he had five mouths, he began to praise his devotee. Just to examine Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Roy, the Lord began to praise the transcendental qualities of Sri Rupa Goswami before them. Characteristically, the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not take seriously an offense committed by a pure devotee. The Lord accepts whatever small service a devotee renders as being such a great service that he is prepared to give even himself, not to speak of other benedictions. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as Purushottam, the greatest of all persons, has a pure mind. He is so gentle that even if his servant is implicated in a great offense, he does not take it very seriously. Indeed, if his servant renders some small service, the Lord accepts it as being very great. Even if an envious person blasphemes the Lord never manifests anger against him. Such are his great qualities. When Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami saw that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come with his intimate devotees, they both immediately fell down like logs and offered prayers to their lotus feet. Thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his personal devotees met Rupa Goswami and Haridas Thakur. The Lord then sat down in an elevated place with his devotees. Rupa Goswami and Haridas Thakur sat at the foot of the elevated place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting. Although everyone asked them to sit on the same level as the Lord and his associates, they did not do so. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Rupa Goswami to read the verse they had previously heard, Rupa Goswami, because of great shyness, did not read it, but instead remained silent. Then Svarup Damodar Goswami recited the verse, and when all the devotees heard it, their minds were struck with wonder. He read, "My dear friend, now I have met my very old and dear friend Krishna on this field of Kurukshetra. I am the same Radharani, and now we are meeting together. It is very pleasant, but I would still like to go back to the bank of the Yamuna, beneath the trees of the forest there. I wish to hear the vibration of his sweet flute, playing the fifth note within that forest of Vrindavan." After hearing this verse, both Ramananda Roy and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu,
"Without your special mercy, how could this Rupa Goswami have understood your mind?"
Srila Ramananda Roy admitted that previously Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had empowered his heart so that he could express elevated and conclusive statements to which even Lord Brahma has no access. "Had you not previously bestowed your mercy on him, it would not have been possible for him to express your internal feelings." Thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dear Rupa, please recite that verse from your drama, which upon being heard makes all people's unhappiness and lamentation go away." When the Lord persisted in asking this again and again, Rupa Goswami recited that verse as follows: "I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. When that name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert." When all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially Sri Ramananda Rai, heard this verse, they were all filled with transcendental bliss and were struck with wonder. Everyone admitted that although they had heard many statements glorifying the holy name of the Lord, they had never heard such sweet descriptions as those of Rupa Goswami. Ramananda Rai inquired,
"What kind of drama are you writing? We can understand that it is a mine of conclusive statements."
Svarup Damodar replied for Srila Rupa Goswami,
"He wanted to compose a drama about the pastimes of Lord Krishna. He planned to describe in one book both the pastimes of Vrindavan and those of Dwarka and Mathura. He began it in that way, but now, following the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has divided it into two and is writing two plays, one concerning the pastimes of Mathura and Dwarka, and the other concerning the pastimes of Vrindavan. The two plays are called Vidugdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava, both of them wonderfully described ecstatic emotional love of God."
Ramananda Roy said,
"Please recite the introductory verse of Vidugdha Madhava so that I can hear and examine it."
Thus Sri Rupa Goswami, being ordered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, recited the verse. He said,
"May the pastimes of Sri Krishna reduce the miseries existing in the material world and nullify all unwanted desires. The pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are like shikadani, a blend of yogurt and sugar candy. They overpower the pride of even the nectar produced on the moon, for they distribute the sweet fragrance of the concentrated loving affairs of Srimati Radharani and the gopis."
Ramananda Rai said,
"Now please recite the description of the glories of your worshipable deity."
Rupa Goswami, however, hesitated due to embarrassment because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present. The Lord, however, encouraged Rupa Goswami, saying, "Why are you embarrassed? You should recite it so that the devotees can hear the good fruit of your writing." When Rupa Goswami thus recited his verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disapproved of it because it described his personal glories. he expressed the opinion that it was an exaggerated explanation. It went like this. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Shachidevi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost core of your heart. Resplendent with the radiance of molten gold, he has descended in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most elevated mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. All the devotees present so greatly appreciated this verse that they expressed their gratitude to Sri Rupa Goswami for his transcendental recitation. Ramananda Rai inquired,
"How have you introduced the assembly of the players?"
Rupa Goswami replied,
"The players assemble at a suitable time under the heading of Pravartika. When the entrance of the actors is set in motion by the arrival of a suitable time, the entrance is called Pravartika. Springtime had arrived, and the full moon of that season inspired the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is complete in everything, with new attraction to meet the beautiful Srimati Radharani at night, to increase the beauty of their pastimes."
"Please recite the Prarochana portion, so that I may hear and examine it."
Sri Rupa replied,
"I think that the desire to hear of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Prarochana. Verse 8 of Act 1 of the Vidagdha Madhava reads, the devotees now present are constantly thinking of the Supreme Lord, and are therefore highly advanced. This work named Vidagdha Madhava depicts the characteristic pastimes of Lord Krishna with decorations of poetic ornaments, and the inner grounds of the forest of Vrindavan provide a suitable platform for the dancing of Krishna with the gopis. Therefore, I think that the pious activities of persons like us, who have tried to advance in devotional service, have now attained maturity." And in verse 6, "O learned devotees, I am by nature ignorant and low. Yet even though it is from me that Vidagdha Madhava has come, it is filled with descriptions of the transcendental attributes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, will not such literature bring about the attainment of the highest goal of life? Although its wood may be ignited by a low-class man, fire can nevertheless purify gold. Although I am very low by nature, this book may help cleanse the dirt from within the hearts of the golden devotees."
Then Ramananda Rai inquired from Rupa Goswami about the causes of the loving affairs between Krishna and the gopis, such as previous attachment, transformations of love, endeavors for love, and exchanges of letters disclosing the gopis' awakening love for Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami gradually informed Ramananda Rai about everything he asked. Hearing his explanations, all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were struck with wonder. So Srila Rupa Goswami began to quote from his Vidagdha Madhava.
Experiencing previous attachment to Krishna, Srimati Radharani thought, "Since I have heard the name of a person called Krishna, I have practically lost my good sense. Then there is another person who plays his flute in such a way that after I hear the vibration, intense madness arises in my heart. And again there is still another person to whom my mind becomes attached when I see his beautiful lightning effulgence in his picture. Therefore I think that I am greatly condemned, for I have become simultaneously attached to three persons. It would be better for me to die because of this." "My dear friend, these palpitations of Srimati Radharani's heart are extremely difficult to cure. Even if one applied some medical treatment, it would only end in defamation. Oh, dearly beloved, the artistic loveliness of your picture is now impressed within my mind. Since you are now living within my mind, wherever I wish to run, because I am agitated by impressions of you, I find that you, oh my friend, are blocking my way. Upon seeing peacock feathers in front of her, this girl suddenly begins trembling. When she sometimes sees a necklace of gunja or small conch shells, she sheds tears and cries loudly. I do not know what kind of new ecstatic influence has entered the heart of this poor girl. It has imbued her with the dancing attitude of a player, creating wonderful, unprecedented dances on a stage. Srimati Radharani said to her constant companion Vishakha, My dear friend, there will be no need for you to cry, for it will not be due to any fault of yours. I shall then have to die. But afterwards, please do one thing for me. To observe my funeral ceremony, place my body with its arms embracing a tamal tree like creepers, so that I may remain forever in Vrindavan, undisturbed. That is my last request.
Ramananda Rai inquired,
What are the characteristics of emotional love?
Rupa Goswami replied,
This is the nature of emotional love for Krishna.
Again he quoted from his Vidagdha Madhava.
My dear beautiful friend, if one develops love of Godhead, love of Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, all the bitter and sweet influences of this love will manifest in one's heart. Such love of Godhead acts in two ways. The poisonous effects of love of Godhead defeat the severe and fresh poison of the serpent. Yet there is simultaneously transcendental bliss which pours down and defeats the poisonous effects of a snake, as well as the happiness derived from pouring nectar on one's head. It is perceived as doubly effective, simultaneously poisonous and nectarine.
Ramananda Roy further inquired,
What are the natural characteristics of awakening love of Godhead?
Rupa Goswami replied,
These are the natural characteristics of love of God. When one hears praise from his beloved, he outwardly remains neutral but feels pain within his heart. When he hears his beloved making accusations about him, he takes them to be jokes and enjoys pleasure. When he finds faults in his beloved, they do not diminish his love, nor do the beloved's good qualities increase his spontaneous affection. Thus spontaneous love continues under all circumstances. That is how spontaneous love of Godhead acts within the heart. Here Krishna repents. Upon hearing of my cruelty, Moon-faced Radharani may establish some kind of tolerance in her aggrieved heart, but then she might turn against me, or indeed, being fearful of the lusty desires invoked by the bow of formidable Cupid, she might even give up her life. Alas, I have foolishly uprooted the soft creeper of her desire, just when it was ready to bear fruit. And here Radharani speaks to Vishakha Devi, Desiring the happiness of his association and embraces, my dear friend, I disregarded even my superiors and relaxed my shyness and gravity before them. Furthermore, although you are my best friend, more dear to me than my own life, I have given you so much trouble. Indeed, I even put aside the vow of dedication to my husband, a vow kept by the most elevated women. Oh, alas! Although he is now neglecting me, I am so sinful that I am still living. Therefore, I must condemn my so-called patience. Then Radharani speaks to Lord Krishna. I was engaged in my own playful activities in my home, and because of my childish innocence, I did not know right from wrong. Therefore, is it good for you to have forced us into being so much attracted to you, and then to have neglected us? Now you are indifferent to us. Do you think that is right? Lalita Devi says to Radharani, Our hearts are so polluted by miserable conditions that we are certainly going to Pluto's kingdom. Nevertheless, Krishna does not give up his beautiful, loving smiling, which is full of cheating tricks. Oh, Srimati Radharani, you are very intelligent. How could you have developed such great loving affection for this deceitful debauchee from the neighborhood of cowherds? Srimati Radharani's grandmother Purnamasi says to Lord Krishna, O Lord Krishna, you are just like an ocean. The river of Srimati Radharani has reached you from a long distance, leaving far behind the tree of her husband, breaking through the bridge of social convention, and forcibly crossing the hills of elder relatives. Coming here because of fresh feelings of love for you, that river has now received your shelter. But now you are trying to turn her back by the waves of unfavorable words. How is it that you are spreading this attitude?
Srila Ramananda Roy further inquired, How have you described Vrindavan, the vibration of the transcendental flute, and the relationship between Krishna and Radhika? Please tell me all this, for your poetic ability is wonderful. After offering obeisances to Ramananda Roy, Rupa Goswami gradually began answering his inquiries. Again quoting from his Vidagdha Madhava, Lord Krishna says,
The sweet fragrant honey oozing from newly grown mango buds is again and again attracting groups of bumblebees, and this forest is trembling in the softly moving breezes from the Malaya hills, which are full of sandalwood trees. Thus the forest of Vrindavan is increasing my transcendental pleasure. And Lord Balaram says to Sri Dama, My dear friend, see how this forest of Vrindavan is full of transcendental creepers and trees. The tops of the creepers are full of flowers, and intoxicated bumblebees are buzzing around them, humming songs that please the ear and surpass even the Vedic hymns. Lord Krishna says to his friend Madhu Mangal, My dear friend, this forest of Vrindavan is giving great pleasure to our senses in various ways. Somewhere bumblebees are singing in groups, and in some places mild breezes are cooling the entire atmosphere. Somewhere the creepers and tree twigs are dancing, the mullaka flowers are expanding their fragrance, and an overabundance of juice is constantly flowing in showers from pomegranate fruits. Purnamasi says to Lalita Devi, The flute of Krishna's pastimes measures 3 fingers in length, and it is bedecked with Indranila gems. At the end of the flute, the Aruna gems, or rubies, glittering beautifully, and in between the flute is plated with gold set ablaze by diamonds. This auspicious flute, pleasing to Krishna, is glittering in his hand with transcendental brilliance. Srimati Radharani says, My dear friend, the flute, it appears that you have been born of a very good family, for your residence is in the hands of Sri Krishna. By birth, you are simple and are not at all crooked. Why then have you taken initiation into this dangerous mantra that enchants the assembled gopis? Chandravali, Radharani's competitor, says, My dear friend, the flute, you are actually full of many holes or faults. You are light, hard, juiceless, and full of knots. But what kind of pious activities have engaged you in the service of being kissed by the Lord and embraced by His hands? Madhu Mangal says, The transcendental vibration of Krishna's flute blocked the movements of the rain clouds, struck the Gandharvas full of wonder, and agitated the meditation of great saintly persons like Sanak and Sanandan. It created wonder in Lord Brahma, wrought intense curiosity that agitated the mind of Bali Maharaj, who was otherwise firmly fixed, made Maharaj Ananta, the carrier of the planets, whirl around and penetrated the strong coverings of the universe. Thus the sound of the flute in the hands of Krishna created a wonderful situation. Purnamasi says, The beauty of Krishna's eyes surpasses the beauty of white lotus flowers. His yellow garments surpass the brilliance of fresh decorations of kunkum.
His ornaments of selected forest flowers surpass the hankering for the best of garments. And his bodily beauty possesses mind-attracting splendor greater than the jewels known as Marakatamani or emeralds. In the Lalita Madhava, Lalita says, O most beautiful friend, please accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is standing before you full of transcendental bliss. The borders of his eyes roam from side to side, and his eyebrows move slowly like bumblebees on his lotus face. Standing with his right foot placed below the knee of his left leg, the middle of his body curved in three places, and his neck gracefully tilted to the side, he takes his flute to his pursed lips and moves his fingers upon it here and there. Radharani says to Lalita Devi, O beautiful-faced one, who is this creative person standing before us? With the sharp chisels of his loving glances, he is splitting the hard stones of many women's devotion to their husbands. And with the luster of his body surpassing the brilliance of countless emeralds, he is simultaneously constructing private meeting places for his pastimes. And Lalita says to Radharani, My dear friend, this newly youthful Lord Krishna, the moon in the family of Nanda Maharaj, is so beautiful that he defies the beauty of clusters of valuable jewels. All glories to the vibration of his flute, for it is cunningly breaking the patience of chaste ladies by loosening their belts and tight dresses. In the Vidagdha Madhava, Purnamasi says, The beauty of Srimati Radharani's eyes forcibly devours the beauty of newly grown blue lotus flowers, and the beauty of her face surpasses that of an entire forest of fully blossomed lotuses. Her bodily luster seems to place even gold in a painful situation. Thus, the wonderful, unprecedented beauty of Srimati Radharani is awakening in Vrindavan. Lord Krishna says to Madhu Mangal, Although the effulgence of the moon is brilliant initially at night, in the daytime it fades away. Similarly, although the lotus is beautiful during the daytime, at night it closes. But, O my friend, the face of my most dear Srimati Radharani is always bright and beautiful, both day and night. Therefore, to what can her face be compared? When Srimati Radharani smiles, waves of joy overtake her cheeks, and her arched eyebrows dance like the bow of Cupid. Her glance is so enchanting that it is like a dancing bumblebee moving unsteadily due to intoxication. That bee has bitten the whorl of my heart. Having heard these verses recited by Rupa Goswami, Srila Ramananda Roy said, Your poetic expressions are like continuous showers of nectar. Kindly let me hear the introductory portion of the second drama. Srila Rupa Goswami said, In your presence, which is just like brilliant sunshine, I am as insignificant as the light of a glowworm. It is even impudent for me to open my mouth before you. Then, having said this, he recited the introductory verse of Lalita Madhava. He said, The beautiful moon give distress to the lotus-like faces of the wives of the demons and to their raised breasts, which are like gleaming Chakravaka birds. Those glories, however, are pleasing to all his devotees, who are like Chakora birds. May those glories forever give pleasure to you all. When Srila Ramananda Roy further inquired about the second introductory verse, Srila Rupa Goswami was somewhat hesitant, but nevertheless he began to read from Vidagdha Madhava. He said, The moon-like Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as the Son of Mother Shachi, has now appeared on earth to spread devotional love of himself. He is emperor of the Brahmin community.
He can drive away all the darkness of ignorance and control the mind of everyone in the world. Oh, may that rising moon bestow upon us all good fortune.
Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was inwardly greatly pleased when he heard this verse, externally he spoke as if angry, saying, "Your exalted poetic descriptions of the mellows of Lord Krishna's pastimes are like an ocean of nectar. But why have you put in a false prayer about me? It is like a drop of detestable alkali." Srila Ramananda Rai objected, "Oh no, it is not like alkali at all. It is a particle of camphor he has put into the nectar of his exalted poetic expression." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dear Ramananda Roy, you are jubilant at hearing these poetic expressions, but I am ashamed to hear them, for people in general will joke about the subject of this verse."
"Instead of joking, people in general will feel great pleasure in hearing such poetry, for the initial remembrance of the worshipable deity invokes good fortune."
He then said to Rupa Goswami, "By which subdivision of style do the players enter?" Rupa Goswami then began to speak specifically about this subject and recited,
"While dancing on the stage, after having killed the ruler of uncivilized men, Kamsa, Lord Krishna, master of all arts, will at the proper time accept the hand of Srimati Radharani, who is qualified with all transcendental attributes. This introduction is technically called Udgatyaka, and the whole scene is called Viti. You are so expert in dramatic expression that each of my statements before you is like a wave from an ocean of impudence. To explain an unclear word, men generally join it with other words. Such an attempt is called Udgatyaka."
When Ramananda Roy requested Srila Rupa Goswami to speak further about various portions of the play, Srila Rupa Goswami briefly quoted his Lalita Madhava, saying,
"The dust from cows and calves on the road creates a kind of darkness, indicating that Krishna is returning home from the pasture. Also, the darkness of evening provokes the gopis to meet Krishna. Thus, the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis are covered by a kind of transcendental darkness and are therefore impossible for ordinary scholars of the Vedas to see. May the sweet sound of Lord Krishna's flute, his authorized messenger, be glorified, for it expertly releases Srimati Radharani from her shyness and attracts her from her home to the forest." In the Lalita Madhava, Srimati Radharani says to Lalita, "My dear friend, who is this fearless young man? He is as bright as a lightning cloud, and he wanders in his pastimes like a maddened elephant. From where has he come to Vrindavan? Alas, by his restless movements and attractive glances, he is plundering from the vault of my heart the treasure of my patience." Lord Krishna began to think about Srimati Radharani. "Srimati Radharani is the Ganges, in which the elephant of my mind enjoys pastimes. She is the shining of the full autumn moon for the chakora birds of my eyes. She is the dazzling ornament, the bright and beautiful arrangement of stars on the border of the sky of my chest. Now, today, I have gained Srimati Radharani because of the highly elevated state of my mind." After hearing this, Srila Ramananda Rai submitted at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the super excellence of Srila Rupa Goswami's poetic expression and began to praise it as if he had thousands of mouths. Srila Ramananda Rai said,
"This is not a poetic presentation. It is a continuous shower of nectar. Indeed, it is the essence of all ultimate realizations appearing in the form of plays. The wonderful descriptions of Rupa Goswami They are superb arrangements to express loving affairs. Hearing them will plunge the heart and ears of everyone into a whirlpool of transcendental bliss. What is the use of a bowman's arrow or a poet's poetry if they penetrate the heart but do not cause the head to spin? Without your mercy, such poetic expressions would be impossible for an ordinary living being to write. My guess is that you have given him the power.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, I met Srila Rupa Goswami at Prayag. He attracted and satisfied me because of his qualities. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu praised the metaphors and other literary ornaments of Srila Rupa Goswami's transcendental poetry. Without such poetic attributes, he said, there is no possibility of preaching transcendental mellows. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested all his personal associates to bless Rupa Goswami, so they described the pastimes of Vrindavan, which are full of emotional love of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Srila Rupa Goswami's elder brother, whose name is Sanatan Goswami, is such a wise and learned scholar that no one is equal to him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Ramananda Roy, Sanatan Goswami's renunciation of material connections is just like yours. Humility, renunciation, and excellent learning exist in him simultaneously. I empowered both of these brothers to go to Vrindavan to expand the literature of bhakti. Srila Ramananda Rai replied to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, My Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you like, you can cause even a wooden doll to dance. I see that the truths regarding transcendental mellow that you have expounded through my mouth are all explained in the writings of Srila Rupa Goswami. Because of your causeless mercy toward your devotees, you want to describe the transcendental pastimes in Vrindavan. Anyone empowered to do this can bring the entire world under your influence. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then embraced Rupa Goswami and asked him to offer prayers at the lotus feet of all the devotees present. Advaitacharya, Nityananda Prabhu, and all the other devotees showed their causeless mercy to Rupa Goswami by embracing him in return. Seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special mercy toward Srila Rupa Goswami and seeing his personal qualities, all the devotees were struck with wonder. Then when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called his devotees, Haridas Thakur also embraced Srila Rupa Goswami. Haridas Thakur told him, There is no limit to your good fortune. No one can understand the glories of what you have described. Srila Rupa Goswami said, I do not know anything. The only transcendental words I can utter are those which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes me speak. Although I am the lowest of men and have no knowledge, the Lord has mercifully bestowed upon me the inspiration to write transcendental literature about devotional service. Therefore, I offer my obeisances at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has given me the chance to write these books. In this way, Srila Rupa Goswami passed his time in close association with Haridas Thakur by discussing the pastimes of Lord Krishna in great happiness. All the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus spent 4 months with him. Then the Lord bade them farewell, and they returned to Bengal. Srila Rupa Goswami, however, stayed at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and when the Dola Yatra festival took place, he saw it in great happiness with the Lord. After the Dola Yatra festival ended, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade farewell to Rupa Goswami also. The Lord empowered him and bestowed upon him all kinds of mercy. He said, Now go to Vrindavan and stay there. You may send here your elder brother Sanatan. When you go to Vrindavan, stay there, preach transcendental literature, and excavate the lost holy places.
establish the service of Lord Krishna and preach the mellows of Lord Krishna's devotional service. I shall also go to Vrindavan once more. Having thus spoken, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Rupa Goswami, who then placed the lotus feet of the Lord upon his head. Srila Rupa Goswami took leave of all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and returned to Vrindavan by the path to Bengal. Thus I have described the second meeting of Rupa Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anyone who hears of this incident will certainly attain the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. This ends Chapter 1 of the Antya Leela, Rupa Goswami's meeting with the Lord.